At least 36 people are confirmed dead so far in that devastating Oakland warehouse fire. Oakland Fire Battalion Chief Melinda Drayton said today that investigators believe they found the area of the building where the fire started, but they don't yet know what caused it.
We are no closer to finding a cause, and we absolutely believe that the number of fire fatalities will increase.
Joining us now via Skype is Jim Pauley, who's president of the National Fire Protection Association. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we know that there is no word yet on the cause of the fire, but we have heard that the warehouse didn't have a sprinkler system, that there was a staircase built out of wooden pallets, and that there were only two exits in that building. So based on what we know at this point, what do you think were some of the factors that contributed to such a high death toll?
Well, I think that the key, and really all of the things that you mentioned, really gets back to complacency that we all have as the public around fire. We've done a great job over the decades at reducing the instance of fire. And that's made people more complacent as, well, I'll never have a fire. It will never happen to me. And so the actions that necessarily get taken don't reflect the fact that when a fire does happen, you need to have appropriate exits. You need to have appropriate fire systems that are in place. And so that issue of complacency is one that we at NFPA are talking a lot about. And how do we continue to educate people around the risks associated with fire and making sure they take the appropriate actions?
But was the issue, do you think, in this case, more about a building that was not in any shape to be occupied, that wasn't up to the codes it should have been up to, or the fact that it was being used in this way where there were so many people in it at one time?
Well, I think that's a situation where it's both. Whether it was people that were staying and living there, whether it was being used as a nightclub, whether it was simply being used as a warehouse, I think all of those factors are going to have to be sorted out. And any of those occupancies that it might have been, if you were doing that building specifically for that occupancy, there are sets of rules and regulations and fire codes that go into place to say these are the things that you need, such as appropriate exits, such as appropriate stairways. So I think many of those things will be coming to light as they continue to investigate.
If you were to tour major cities around this country, would you find a lot of buildings that are in such bad shape as that one? Would you find many other fire hazards around the country?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think the fire services in many cities are having to deal with these new type of environments that are coming up. And in many cases, you have things that are being changed in a building and nobody knows except the occupants or the people that are in that building. The government officials don't know. The enforcement community doesn't know. The fire department doesn't know. And how often that's occurring, one of the concerns can certainly be as older spaces in cities are being used for different uses, that may actually be climbing in some of these cities.
So what can people do now after such a terrible fire in Oakland with so many dead? What should people do as they go into buildings, you know, on a day-to-day basis to make sure that they can get out if they need to or that they're in a safe place?
Well, that's a great question. And I think in some cases it's common sense, and in some cases it's kind of changing that paradigm a little bit from the complacency I talked about. So before you enter a building, you take a good look at the building. Does it appear to be in a condition that would make you feel safe? Do the exits open outward to allow people to get out? Is material being stored all around the building that would make it more difficult to navigate through the building or could potentially be a fire hazard? I mean, things that you would not typically think about, we really need to get people to just take a few moments and think about those elements. You know, what's your communication plan? Identify somebody that you would contact in the case of an emergency or if you're separated from your family or friends. Plan a meeting place that if something that you were attending a function, where would you go to where people would know you would be if something happened in that particular venue? And then there's the items when you get in the building. One of the first things that I do and I recommend everybody does is when you walk into a building you're unfamiliar with, locate the exits. It just takes a few moments to look and see where are those exits. Are there clear paths to those exits? And just in general in the building, do you feel safe? Does this building appear to be really overcrowded? Are candles burning in the building that you think might be a fire hazard? Applying some of those elements can really make a difference in how you would react if something happened.
That's Jim Pauley, the president of the National Fire Protection Association. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you.